you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah chapter 60. We're starting off our year. The title of this message is simply The Beginning. I love the beginning of things. I do. I love the excitement of starting something. I like the future of starting something where you're kind of at one place and, you know, everything lies ahead. I can't change the past. I can't do anything really with the past other than learn from it. But the future is still a work in motion. It's still a project in motion. And I get excited about the beginning of things. Moments that you're just starting, the slate's clean. Everything for you lies ahead. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "The old has gone and the new is here." That's exciting for three of you. The old is gone and the new is here. Last year is nothing we can do about it. So stop stressing over it. Stop, you know, moaning. It's gone. It may have been a horrible, terrible, no good, rotten year. You know, but there's nothing we can do about it. That's now past history. A new thing is here. A new beginning is here. I'm going to say it until you get it. The old is gone. The new is here. That's exciting to be a part of. I mean, literally, the next 365 days, give or take, you know, Monday, Tuesday, kind of thing. But here's the thing, is yet to be written. It's yet to be written. It is a blank page that we get to fill, that we get to live out, that we get to watch it come into being by the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, by the faith that we stand in, and by what we do with our lives. It is a season that the gyms are going to be full for about a month. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who work out regularly, all of a sudden you're going to show up this week and be like, who are these people? It's okay. By the end of the month, they're gone. They really are. New Year's resolutions. Everybody makes them. Only 8% keep them. Isn't that funny? This is research. 8% of all people who make resolutions keep them throughout the year. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Okay. Only 8% of you are going to do it. I'm just letting you know. So if yours is like really tough, I'm just letting you off the hook right now. It's okay. It's all right. Just let someone else do it. Just let someone else do it. You should enjoy your life. It's all good. Here's the thing. I read an article in Psychology Today, not psychological, Psychology Today, and they had several reasons why resolutions often fail. And I found it very interesting, and I want to share a couple of them with you. One said that resolutions are the way that people try to motivate themselves, but he went on to say that resolutions fail because people simply aren't ready to change. We come up with great ideas, but we just aren't really ready to be different. Another one called it false hope syndrome. False hope syndrome, which means their resolution is significantly unrealistic and out of alignment with their internal views of themselves. And this principle reflects that of making positive affirmations. When you make a positive affirmation about yourself that you don't really believe, the positive affirmation not only doesn't work, but it can be damaging then to your self-worth. Meaning this, you set goals that there's no way you can keep, and then when you don't get them, you feel less about yourself. You feel down on yourself. Well, that kind of stinks. Third one said this, in order to change a behavior, you have to change the way that you think or rewire your brain, which sounds very smart. And you know what? Who came up with that first? God said, we've got to renew our minds. You want to be a new person? You've got to become a new person. And in Christ, all things are made new. So we can do that. That's exciting, all right? He said, you've got to rewire your brain, change requiring creating new neural pathways for new thinking. So you've got to let go of the old and embrace the new. And it requires us to think differently, act differently, function differently. Now, I think all those are good. I want to add a couple to it. I think resolutions fail because we would like to be different, but we don't want to become different. You see, I want to play the guitar. I don't want to learn how to play the guitar. I'm just being very honest with you. I see these guys up here and I think, they are so cool. they are so cool. Tony and Jared and I, you know, God, why can't I play the guitar? God says, because you won't learn. And I'm like, well, you're God, right? You know, I mean, and the whole thing, we don't want to become different. I would like to lose weight, but I don't want to exercise or eat differently. And don't pretend like I'm the only one. I want to grow in the Lord, but I don't want to change or sacrifice anything. You see, it's an amazing thing. I think we have resolutions. We have things that we want to be more, want to be different, but we don't want to become different. And that's not going to work, and it's not only going to make us feel like we're struggling, like we have failed, but it's going to cause our spirits to be discouraged. Another thing is this. I think many times we simply don't see life correctly. I don't think we see life correctly. I think we live life with blinders on. I think we live life with a filter that things always work out for us and that we're always right and we're always okay and it's always everybody else's problem. I don't think we see life correctly. We do not guard our hearts and that we don't live like the old is gone and the new is here. We live like the old is still here. And we can live like that in just the same old, same old. You see, we have to be in tune. If you want 2016 to really be what God has said it can be for us, we've got to live in tune with the seasons of our life, with what God is doing in your moments. Because life is so much more than just days and weeks and months and years, but it is moments and opportunities and seasons that come and go. And if we're not careful, I'm going to tell you what happens. One year just bleeds into the next year that just bleeds into the next year. And all of a sudden, we're not living looking to the future. We're just living in a state of continuous grind. Am I lying to you? Am I talking the truth to you? It just never really changes. It's just the same old, same old. And we have our breaks, and we have our Easter, and we have our Christmas. We all make our resolutions that no one really ever keeps, 8% of you, nerds. But for the most part, we just kind of keep the wheels turning. And when life is a continuous grind mode, when that's what it is, we're not going to see the moments and the little opportunities and the seasons that come. As much as some hate change, listen, we need change. We have to embrace it. We have to grab hold of it. And when people feel like they're lost in a grind, people simply just numb out. How many of you, some still may do this, not as much as when I was very young, road trips were just a very popular family vacation. I mean, you just pile everybody in the car and drive across the country. And I remember our family one year, we drove from Virginia all the way down to Florida and then all the way over to Louisiana to see someone. And I look back and it's mostly nightmares. And you know, we were just in a four-door Ford Zephyr. Who remembers Ford Zephyrs? Oh, my heavens. And so it was, hey, guys, we're taking a vacation. I'm thinking, all right, we're driving to Louisiana. I'm thinking, gauge on, you know. But you know what the day consisted of? We'd get up in the morning. We'd get in the back of the car, and I tried to go to sleep as fast as I could. I just would lay my head back and close my eyes. Just wake me up when we are there. Because the grind of driving just saps the life out of you. It just saps the life out of you. Wake me up when we are there. And when your life is kind of in grind mode, when your life is just kind of the same thing over and over and over and over again, and listen, you numb out. You start living by muscle memory. You can hit the button and pull the lever and not really put thought into it, not really put heart into it. It just becomes a monotonous type of living and going. We know what needs to be done, and we can do it asleep at the wheel. God is a God that never changes, but He is a God of change, and He is a God of life. Even this year that they're starting, there are four seasons that we're going to embrace. In the physical, there are four seasons that are come. There's spring, and then summer, and then fall, and then winter. Each unique, and each requires different things from us. During the summer, you wear shorts and flip-flops. If you wear shorts and flip-flops now, there's something wrong with you. They require different things from us. And it's not just true physically, but this is true spiritually as well. I mean, what does a spiritual spring look like? A spiritual spring, we all have them. It's where things are coming to life. We're coming out of a winter where we have the spiritual and the physical strength in our hearts, the desire in our hearts to break up fallow ground in our lives, to sow and to plant and to stretch and to believe and to start and to engage. And when spring is a time that life begins to come up all around us. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? God said, in the spring seasons of your life, I'm going to be moving, and I want you watching for it, because if you don't, you'll miss it. A spiritual spring is a time of maturing and embracing the new things of God in our lives. How about a spiritual summer? Spiritual summer, they're times of growth, and it's a time of deepening your spiritual roots. Summers can sometimes be a little dry. I don't know how your lawn looked during the summer. Mine just kind of starts off beautiful green, and then God is so kind towards the end of the summer to cover it in leaves. Just bury it and leave it go. Summer can be a little dry, and so it's a time to press roots down, to go deeper, to tap into the water, to tap into the ground, to grow and to mature. Water what has been planted. Weed out what shouldn't be there. Weed out the things that the enemy has tried to plant in your life to distract you or discourage you. It's time to maintain what God is doing in your life. There's times to work in it. There's times to reflect in it. And often it is a time of waiting on God. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Summer is a great spiritual time. Then we kind of get to our fall, a spiritual fall. Fall is a season of change. It's a time of maturity. Fall is a time of harvest. All the seed that you've sown for that time, it's ready to be gathered. It's ready to be harvested and stored for the winter. It is in the fall that we see where we've come from and where we need to go yet. It's a great time of evaluation of your life and of your walk with God. Have I done what he's called me to do? Have I been who he's called me to be? We evaluate and we make the changes to become all that God has for us. Galatians 6, 9 says this, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's a season of thanksgiving and celebration as we watch what God does. The fall is the beginning of the summer ending. Rest is over and it is time to get back to work. You ever notice towards the end of the school year, kids can't wait to get out? Oh, they can't wait. They don't want to go to school. Every morning, same conversation. What? Put your shoes on. I don't want to go. Finally, the last day of school comes. They can't wait. Oh, my gosh. Dad, we're so glad school's over. About a week into it, they're on board. Summer ends and the fall begins, and it's like things close and yet other things open for God in our lives. We have to embrace those. And then fall leads us to spiritual winters. And spiritual winters can be the most difficult, and it seems like God goes silent. It just seems God is quiet. It seems like we pray and it falls on deaf ears. It just seems like nothing's moving. It's just, you look out your window, the leaves are pretty much gone. Everything's pretty much dead. Everything kind of takes on just a gray. It's a season to trust what you know about him. It's a time for evaluation, and in the winter, in this season of gray, we're to look to the spring, we're to look to the future, we're to plan and we're to prepare for what God has for us to do. Winter, I think, is like a Sabbath for us. It's a time of rest before the work comes. But I tell you what, it can feel like a wilderness. And if you don't pay attention to it, it can be like one. It can be in the moments like this that the enemy comes to tempt, and he comes and causes us to question and to become disheartened. People get restless in the winter months, in this winter season, because it doesn't look like anything is growing. We assume that everything is dying when it isn't. We can question what we're doing and what we think we're supposed to be doing. And yet it is a Sabbath that is rest and prepare for the spring that is to come. In the winter, reflect on God's faithfulness. Remember all that he has done for you, in you, through you. Hold on to the last thing that you heard God say to you and be faithful in it till he come and speak again. God will get you through. And just like we go through seasons in life, there are seasons spiritually that we go through. And I don't think that we're all in the same season at the same time. Some of you might be here this morning, and you know what? You're at a place that man, life is just popping. God is speaking. You're seeing it. You're looking around you. You see opportunities to step in and to become and the things for God has for you to do. And you're embracing it and awesome. And you could be sitting by someone who's in a spiritual winter right now. Who's praying and doesn't hear anything, who's holding on to God and saying, God, I know you're there and I know you're alive and I know that you're speaking. Bring me into tune with what you're saying. Help me live at your frequency because I want to hear what you say to me because I need to hear you to know how to function. Some of you in the summer, you're in a time that you're just digging deeper and going deeper and getting your roots down and tapping into that deeper water, tapping into that deeper nutrients that are feeding your spirit and feeding your life. We're all in seasons and they're real, but we're all in different seasons. That's why we need each other. And it's so important for us to understand the season that we're in so that we don't miss what God is trying to do in our lives. Because you know what? If spring leads to summer, that leads to fall, that leads to winter, that leads to spring, if I'm in a summer and I don't catch that I'm in a summer, I can miss what God is trying to teach me in that spiritual summer. And then I have to wait till it comes back around again. For me to grow, for me to be, for me to learn the lesson that God was trying to teach me. When we miss the season that we're in, it can cause a lot of frustration spiritually. A lot of opportunities for growth and deepening can be missed. And love it or hate it, when a season's missed, you need to wait till it comes back around. And so, church, listen to me, and I mean this with all love and all respect in an encouraging way, but we have to wake up. In 2016, we need to have eyes open, heart open, mind open to what God is saying, what God is doing, what God is leading us into. We have to wake up and capture the moments of God in our lives. We got to wake up and capture the moments of our families. Wake up and capture the moment of our future that God has established for us. We can't just watch it go by. We need to step into it and live it wide open for him. You've got to wake up and capture the moments of what God is trying to accomplish in you. And because we're all in different seasons, it might be something different for you than it is for someone else. And that's why you can't wait for someone else to do it first. You've got to respond to God. If you're in a fall and God's saying it's time to harvest, but your friends are all in a spring where it's time to sow, you can't wait for it because it requires different things from you. God says it's time to harvest. My friend, you harvest. God says it's time to sow. My friend, you sow. If God says it's time to hold on to him and have a Sabbath through the winter months when it seems tough, when it seems hard to evaluate, to reflect, then my friend, that's what you do. You can't say, oh, I'll wait till everyone does it. Everyone's not there. But you are. Obey God. Because if we don't, we miss them. And when we miss them, they're gone. We live in a world that has such a pull towards normalcy and average and just muscle memory living that if you only wake up when your kid gets married, if you only wake up when your kid goes to school, if you only wake up when they leave your house, you've missed the moments to teach them how to navigate this life. We got to wake up in our marriages. We got to wake up in our finances. We got to wake up in our lives because there are so many things to do and so many things that can be missed that God desires for you to get, that God desires for you to learn. He is a God of second chances when there are second chances. I want to say that again. He's a God of second chances when there are second chances. But some things, listen to me, when they're gone, they're gone. So we don't like to talk about that in church. We don't like to say things like that. But I'm telling you the truth of the matter. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. There are moments that come and God says, all right, you knucklehead, you didn't get it. I'm going to set it up here again for you, and I want you to get it here. Okay, God. And there are times that it comes and it goes, and you say, God, give me another shot at that. And God says, that's done. That's finished. That moment has come. That moment has gone. And it will never come back again. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is at the height of his popularity, man. He just can't walk outside without crowds gathering. I mean, here's this rabbi who comes from a seemingly nothing village who's teaching and preaching like no one has heard before. And he's talking about relationship and not just the law. And it's just spreading like wildfire. People are coming from all over to hear this man, to watch this man, because he's bucking the system. He's fighting the system. And yet people are seeing him do miracles. He's giving them food. I mean, he is doing the kingdom. And crowds are all around him, and he's leaving the city of Jericho, and he's on his journey. He's with his disciples. There's a large crowd are following him. And as he's leaving, there's this blind man named Bartimaeus. And it says this, and when he heard was Jesus was close, he began to cry out and shout to him. I'll read you the verses, 47 to 48. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. They didn't just try to silence him. They tried to get louder than him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus realized this is a moment. Bartimaeus sitting there, just like he had done the day before, just like he had done the day before, and the day before, and for that whole season of life, make my way to the gate, I'll sit here, I'll beg, someone might give me something to sustain me and get me through that day. But today was different because Jesus was close, he heard Jesus was close, and he shouted out, and even when people said, be quiet, you need to stop, he's important, you are not. He didn't silence. He shouted out all the more and all the louder. Do you know how many people passed by him on a daily basis? Do you know how many people he would ask for help that just kept walking or told him, leave us alone, stop, just be quiet? But in this moment, Bartimaeus woke up. In this moment, Bartimaeus realized this time, this moment that I'm in right now is different. And he cried out the more, even when they told him to be quiet. He just raised his voice over the naysayers, over the people who said, you're always going to be this way. You're never going to change. It's just who you are. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. All the excuses that the world has told us every day of our life to get us to shut up. He spoke out over them. And he said, God, help me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And in that moment, Jesus hears him. And in that moment, Jesus stops. And Jesus calls him over. And I love this. He arose. He got up. He comes over to Jesus, and Jesus heals him of blindness. His life is forever changed because he cried out in that moment. He woke up. He didn't wait for next time. He didn't wait for tomorrow. He didn't wait for next service, next small group, next Sunday school. He stepped in it in that moment. And he woke up and he stepped into the moment and he was right in front of him that he stepped into it. And it's a good thing that he did. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus left Jericho. And he journeyed to Jerusalem. And he came into a triumphal entry where everyone shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. And very quickly it turned on Jesus. And one of his own betrayed him. And he was arrested. And he was betrayed by Judas, arrested and crucified for your sins and my sins. Went to the tomb for 3 days. On the third day rose again. Do you know he never went back to Jericho? He never went back that way. God is a God of second chances when there are second chances. But sometimes there aren't second chances, folks. Sometimes when you sit in a service or a small group or you sit in a spiritual gathering and something stirs in your heart, stop fighting it. Stay. Step out into it. Come, see what God will do. See how God's going to open your eyes, change your life, give you wisdom, grant you strength, fill you with his power. Because sometimes we say, I don't know. Only a few went to the altar. I don't want to stand out. Listen to me. In Christ, you want to stand out. We need to stand out for Christ. We got to wake up. We've got to wake up. We can't miss the seasons of our lives, the moments, and the opportunities that God brings us and puts them in our path. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, love this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know what that means? That means your life from this day forward, God has placed exactly where you should be. Blessings and breakthrough and power and anointing. And all of the things that you truly, deeply desire have been prepared in advance for us to do. And yet, we are a people of free will, and we have a choice in each of these things. And some of us will step into them, and some of us will miss them. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. Start the year right. Start the year well. Some things come back, some things don't come back. And we can't live asleep at the wheel. We can't miss the season that we're in because each one requires something different from us. And if you try to function in the wrong season, you're just going to get spiritually frustrated. If God has you in a season of rest, but you're out there trying to overdo and do and do, you're just going to burn out. And if God has you in a season to harvest and you just want to lay back, you're going to starve in the fall. God says, I gave you all these seeds to sow and you didn't sow any of them. Well, God, I thought I was. Well, you need to listen. If we miss the season, we miss what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. And so our theme this year, and I'm going to kind of wrap up just giving you the nickel tour of our theme. Our theme this year is arise. Arise. And the definition of arise, or let me give you the verse. The verse is Isaiah 60, verse 1, and it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. I feel like God is saying to us, it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. It's time to stand. It's time to arise. It's time to do. It's time to step into the moments and step into the opportunities. It's time to embrace the seasons that I'm bringing you and that I'm giving you. Arise means this, to get up, to come into being. I love that. To come into being. To being what? To being what God has created you to be. You can't be somebody else. You got to be you. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Not one person here this morning is a mistake. Not one person here this morning is half a project of God. You are created. You've been given the personality. You've been given the gifting to accomplish his will for your life. Every single person. So come into being. And I love this. The last one is to originate. To get up, to come into being, to originate. To reconnect back to the source. I'm going back to my beginning. My beginning is not my mom and dad. My beginning is God. And we've got to walk that out. One of the other definitions says this, come to attention. And I feel like that's what God's saying to us. I feel like there's this call. Arise, get up, come into being, come back to the originate. The action is shine. Reflect his presence in your life. The way is this. The light has come. His glory rises upon you. So what we're going to do over the next several weeks, we're going to take the word arise and we're going to break it down so that we can understand that we can walk this thing out, the process by which we arise and shine. We've made it an acronym. A is simply this. We've got to awaken. We've got to wake up. Some of you are awake and you're running and you see and you move. And some of you are sleeping at the wheel. You're sleeping at the wheel of your home. You're sleeping at the wheel of your faith. You're sleeping at the wheel of your life. And the days are ticking and the weeks are ticking and the months are ticking and the years are ticking. And you blink your eyes and you're saying, oh my gosh, it's been another year. God says, wake up. Grab the moments. Grab the opportunities. Grab the season that I bring you. When I was young, my dad, he worked. He was, I won't call him a workaholic. And my dad's loved to work ever since he was little. He has loved to work, and he worked at a hospital Monday to Friday, and Saturday and Sunday were the only days that he had to do things around the house. And so every Saturday morning, you know, we went to school all week, and we would come, had a couple of nights a week that we would go and cut firewood and things like that, so we weren't lazing around or anything. But on Saturday mornings, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, on a Saturday. Now, am I 45 or 46? How old am I, babe? You don't know I'm your husband. I'm not your age. Your birthday's in February. Well, how old are you? You don't want to know? You want me to tell you? You want me to tell you? Well, I'll throw it up on the screen. Yeah. How about she's 40 beautiful. How about that? We'll go with 40. Ah, that was good. There you go. I still got it. But he would come down, and about 6:30, 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, my room was down in the basement, and I could hear him. We had wooden steps that would come down to a platform and then turn and then come down, and I could hear him come down, boom, boom, boom. And every Saturday morning, I knew, I think maybe he's not coming to my room. I would lie to myself. And the door would crack open. My father would stick his head in. He'd say, Wes, you ought to think about getting up. I'm like, well, I thought about it, Dad, and my body said no. Because there were things to be done. There were things to be done. And I feel like that's what God is doing. I feel like God is just kind of walking up to our rooms, up to our lives, up to our spirits, and knocking on our door and saying, hey, it's time to get up. Not a whole litany of you have-tos. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about, hey, let's just stop and look at all the ways you're failing me. That's not what God is saying. I feel like God is just knocking on the door, because half the stuff my dad needed to do, I couldn't do. I didn't know how, but he took me in and he showed me and he taught me. God's knocking on the door, and God says, we got to awaken. And I'm not just going to tell you to go do something, and I'm not going to teach you how to do it. I'll teach you, but you got to get up. You got to embrace the call of the wife you're to be, the husband you're to be, the worker you're to be, the follower of Christ that you're to be. You've got to wake up, and I think that's what God is saying. Wake up from the routine that you're stuck in. Wake up from normalcy and from the excuses that you've used to not move forward with Him in the way that God's called you to. We are so good at finding creative ways to say no to God and feel justified in it. And he's saying, wake up. You've lived distracted too long. Some of you are up and you're working, but you're working at all the wrong things. You're working maybe even at good things, but not God things. And God is saying, I want you to embrace the season that I have you in, and I want you to embrace the thing that I bring to your life. And everything isn't your thing, but some things are your things. And you got to wake up so you don't miss it. The sun is risen, and it's time for us to get up, because there are things that God has for us to accomplish together. Now, there are two kinds of waking up. One is, there's a waking up like it was when my father came down. I heard the steps, and I kind of thought, oh, man. Sometimes we got to wake up to things that we may not really initially like. You might not initially enjoy it, but I knew there's work to be done, and my life is not mine, my life is His, and so we're going to get about to the work. The other kind of waking up, I think, is like a Christmas morning waking up. And, you know, I kid you not, 364 days out of the year, I can hardly get my kids out of bed. But Christmas morning, they're knocking on my door. I got a 7-year-old coming in my room at, you know, 6:30. I'm like, I will shoot you. I can have another one. You know, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You're cute, but you're not that cute, bud. And you don't have to wake them up on Christmas morning. I mean, the sun's not even up, and they're ready to roll. So here's the things. People who have been asleep in normalcy, you've got to wake up. People who've been walking with Christ and your eyes have been open, it's going to be like a Christmas morning for you, because you're going to see what's coming. You know that God's going to bless and that we get to receive, and that ought to be an exciting thing for us. So we're going to wake up on purpose and wake up with passion and wake up moving forward in the things of God, because we know God has something for us that we can embrace. So you want to arise, you want to arise in your life, wake up in your own life, wake up in your schedule, wake up on your finances, wake up on your home, wake up and get ready to receive the work and to receive the blessing. Because this, sometimes the greatest spiritual battle that we face is not one that pushes us to the edge, but one that simply lulls us to sleep. I want to say that again. Sometimes the greatest spiritual battle that we'll face this year is not one that pushes us to the edge, but simply one that lulls us to sleep. So let's wake up. Number R. R is refocus. Refocus. We need to arise back to the original source. We need to refocus. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. I want to say that again. We need to remember who we are. God has created you. God has fashioned you. You are special. You are unique. You are custom made by the hand of God. You've got to remember that. You're not a generic of something else. You are created by Him. Who you are, and then also whose we are. We're His. And He's a good Father. And He will lead us. And I had this. With clear identity comes a lot of clear direction. People who don't know what they want to do and don't know what God wants them to do, go deeper in Him. As we identify who we are and whose we are, direction will come. God will speak. You will hear. You will know. He will not bypass the moment or the opportunity. And as we understand who we are and how God's created us and whose we are and that He's covering, that comes with living and moving and having our being, we can do those things. That leads us to I, which is intimacy with God. To have intimacy with God by breaking through just religious activities, not just coming together and talking a little bit about God and then spending all the rest of the time talking about nothing. It's about breaking through in our Sunday schools, breaking through in our services, breaking through in our small groups, breaking through in our prayer teams, breaking through in our nurseries, breaking through in our walks with God so that it's not just a routine thing, but we are actively seeking His face and seeking His presence, that we are not just saying we've had study, but we're going to come out and say, I've been in His presence. Intimacy with God. And how do we find that? Part of that's why we do the fast at the beginning of the year. Because I'm telling you, it is just a great, awesome way of peeling off the world and peeling off fleshly things, of going through a season, of causing our body physically, not giving it what it wants, and giving that time to God. Because to be a mature follower of Jesus, we can't let our flesh drive us. We need to be driven by the Spirit of God. We need to wake up. We need to refocus. We need to have intimacy with God, and we do it through sacrifice, to live a life of sacrifice. True growth only happens in Him. There can be a lot of change, but true growth only happens in Him. And I don't really grow in Christ when I'm the center of my world. I asked everybody at the New Year's Eve prayer service, said, how do you determine if you've had a good year or a bad year? Because if you say, well, I had a good year because it was pain-free. Well, I don't know anyone that had a pain-free year. Well, I had a good year because everything worked out the way I wanted it to. I don't know anybody that said this year worked out perfectly the way I wanted to. How do we define what a good year is? And to me, a good year is a year that I obeyed Him with all my strength and all my heart, with all my might, with all my power. There may have been seasons of pain I walked through, but if I was obeying God, it's pain with a purpose. It's worth it. There may have been seasons that were tough and that were challenging. There may have been seasons that just were awesome, more than I desired and more than I planned, but that's not what made it great. What made it great is, did I obey God with everything that I had, with everything that I had hoped for? And if I've honored Him, then I don't care what you've experienced that year. When you honor God in it, you can have peace that passes understanding. E stands for simply this: encourage others. Encourage others. Listen, all of us are in different seasons at different times. And we need to walk with each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift up one another. We need to not gossip about one another. We need to not talk about one another. We need to stop looking at where others fail and struggle and say, well, did you hear about something? We need to come alongside and lift and be hope. And speak life and speak truth in love. Listen, it takes the same amount of time to respond poorly as it does to respond well. Well, I'm tired. God doesn't care if you're tired. Don't be a jerk. Can I say that from the platform? It's crazy. It's crazy. We act however we want to act, and then we just, oh, well, I'm tired. Oh, my work is crazy. You're crazy. Knuckleheads, don't talk like that. It's crazy. There are people that God has brought into our lives for us to shine to. He said, arise, shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you. He's brought them into your life for you to reflect him to them. Neighbors and coworkers, some people that are easy to love and some people you might have to work at it. And let me tell you something, that's okay because somebody might be working at it to love you. Give heart and lend a hand. Be kind and forgiving and encouraging. Because the sun is cresting the mountain. And it's time to arise. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you, shines upon you.